Hey, listeners. I can't talk. Hello. How are you doing today, listeners? How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm good.
I guess you can answer me. The listeners can't, unless they're listening on like SoundCloud or something. They can comment.
Yeah. You kind of pulled a Porky Pig there. You're like, that's all, folks. Hey!
That's more Krusty the Clown.
Yeah.
Welcome to Funk Radio, a magical podcast that you're listening to.
With your magical host, Kyle.
And your other host, Peter. We're going to do another short topic here, Kyle. In sort of a way, it kind of spawned out of the next episode that we're doing, which we discussed first. But then this one kind of came out of that slightly. So, have you ever heard of Disco Demolition Night?
No. That sounds like a really bad monster truck rally.
Well, it was pretty much just as destructive, if not more so, if you can believe that. So, if you don't know it by name, I don't know if you've ever heard of...
I've heard of Disco.
You have heard of Disco. But, yes. This is something I didn't know by name, but I kind of vaguely knew that it was a thing at some point in the late 70s that there was this event and people were collecting a pile of disco records and they burned them as a rally to mark the death of disco. So does that sound familiar to you at all? Okay, so this is basically completely new to you, and it's more or less completely new to me as well. I mean, I vaguely have heard of it, but I hadn't really... know any of the details around it. It's actually pretty interesting, and we're gonna try to keep this short. I feel like if we had wanted to, I think we almost could have made a full length episode out of this. But So Kyle, you're from the outskirts of Chicago.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to a Chicago White Sox game when you were growing up?
I guess involuntarily, I'm a Sox fan more than a Cubs fan, because my family would kill me if I wasn't. I don't really follow baseball, to be honest, but I have been to Sox and Cubs games, yes.
So this happened before you were born, of course, but at Comiskey Park in Chicago on July 12th, 1979. The White Sox were having a pretty slow season. There were not a lot of people going to their games, relatively. And so the folks who... owned the team and the stadium were like, hey, we're trying to have these promotions to kind of get our attendance numbers up a bit. And on top of that, on top of like the low turnout, there was also, I believe one of their games a little bit before July was rained out. So they rescheduled that game to be on July 12th with another game that was already scheduled. So basically they had a 2-game doubleheader that night. And, they were playing the Detroit Tigers for both of these games. So they were like, well, what kind of promotion can we come up with? And, you know, long story short, they basically did like a cross promotion with the local radio station, 79.9 WLUP FM. They had a shock jock anti-disco campaigner named Steve Dahl, basically one of their DJs on that station who... was very open about hating disco and had a bit of following, I guess, with his listeners in terms of like the hatred of disco. And historically speaking, listeners, disco really spiked in 1977, largely with the success of the film Saturday Night Fever. But by 1979, it was already dying out after being like this huge musical craze and cultural craze, really. People were like, okay, this was a fad. We don't want to associate ourselves with this anymore. So the White Sox stadium and this DJ, Steve Dahl, were like, hey, let's do a promotion where if you bring a disco record with you to the game, you can get in for 98 cents. And we'll collect all these disco records. And between those two games, because remember I said it was a doubleheader, between those two games, we'll put all the records in the outfield in this big box and we'll blow it up. Can you see where this is going already, Kyle?
Yes.
So the attendance for their previous game, I think it was the previous night, if I remember correctly, was about 15,000, although the stadium can hold about 50,000. So you can see like their numbers are pretty low. And so for this special event, they were thinking, we'll maybe get about 20,000, right? Which is still less than half of what the stadium can hold. Mm-hmm. In reality, they definitely filled up, I think, 50,000. I think they said there were, I don't have it written down, but I think there was like 10 to 20,000 more people outside that could not fit inside the stadium.
So bigger than Donald Trump's inauguration crowd.
Exactly. And they only had hired enough security for 35,000 people. So needless to say, they were not prepared at all for how many people were going to show up to this thing. So the first game starts, you know, before the first game started, people gave their records, you know, and they were put in this big box in the outfield. And so, great. But after the first game started, they stopped taking records. And so people who came in late with records sat down with them, like, at their seats. So throughout the first game, people started just, like, tossing their records and firecrackers and lighters and beer bottles and shit onto the field. And they had to stop the game multiple times because people were just going crazy throwing shit onto the field. One of the hitter for the Tigers, the Detroit Tigers, Rusty Staub, said, I'm reading, he said he remembered that the records would slice through the air and land sticking out of the ground. So it was pretty dangerous for the players. And he was urging his teammates to all wear helmets because of this. And he said, quote, "It wasn't just one, it was many. Oh, God Almighty, I've never seen anything so dangerous in my life." So needless to say, it was not safe at all for the players. Meanwhile, because I said there were so many people that could not fit inside the stadium because it was full. Mm-hmm. A couple of things. One, part of the reason that people were able to throw so much shit onto the field and do this were because all the security were trying to keep people from coming in, like sneaking into the stadium. Mm-hmm. So there was nobody like guarding the field itself, which was why all this shit was happening. But it said, I think at least, I don't know how many people snuck like in without tickets, but I know it was a heck of a lot. It might have been a few thousand people that got in that way. Likewise, for people who did not get in, there were also bonfires and shit happening out in the parking lot outside of the stadium. Bonfires of people burning records and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So finally, the first game ends. And Steve Dahl, the radio guy, comes out and he's like, "Hey, everybody, y'all hate disco, right?" And obviously everyone is drunk and just absolutely
belligerent.
Yes, exactly. So after, you know, a bit of fanfare and everything, they blow up the huge box of records. And because, like I said, there wasn't much security on the field at this point, as soon as that explosion happened, people basically just started rushing the field and trashing it completely. So not only did the explosion damage the outfield of this park, but between 5,000 to 7,000 people took the field and they climbed the foul poles. They set records on fire. They ripped up the grass. They destroyed the batting cage. They took up the bases and stole them. Obviously the people running the stadium were like, "Holy shit, everybody stop, you know, go back to your seats." And they tried playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Everybody was just ignoring this and just destroying the stadium. Soon after, Chicago police in full riot gear arrived and basically took care of the situation. So 39 people were arrested for disorderly conduct. There were up to about 30 or so people who reported injuries. So the thing about this, because you know how I was saying, oh, you know, only about 15,000 people or so were usually showing up for the baseball games. I think a lot of this is attributed to most of the people who were there did not give a shit about baseball at all. They were just belligerent fans of this radio station, or they just wanted to get into a baseball game for less than a dollar and cause a bunch of shit. So that accounted for most of the people who were there. They were just there because they wanted to cause problems
and get drunk.
Mm-hmm. So needless to say, that promotion went completely batshit and did not go as planned in any way, shape, or form. the interesting thing about this whole event is that it's considered by many to be like the quote unquote the day disco died, or the beginning of the cultural shift of, okay, disco is dead, we're all just gonna hate on it now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting way to kind of close out a musical genre and a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Can we do the same thing again, but with like Justin Bieber records?
Well,
just the Bieber riots of 2017.
Is he even still doing stuff? I remember hating on Bieber, you know, a number of years ago, but I haven't even.
Yeah, I think he's fairly culturally irrelevant now. From what I read, he like canceled his last tour because he threw a bitch fit and said, I don't want to be on tour anymore. I don't like singing. My fans don't like me enough. People are mean to me. Weh.
Anyway, so Disco Demolition Night. What are your thoughts on all that? I kind of rambled for like 15 minutes, but
I think it's interesting. I mean, obviously it showed how much hatred there was out there for disco. It seems like it was a fairly polarizing music genre. It's like you either loved it or hated it, like country music now. But yeah, I mean, it's, I guess, leave it to White Sox fans to like take a fun event and ruin it.
Yeah. You know what? I also forgot to mention they actually canceled the second game.
I
guess it's kind of assumed. Yeah, the White Sox forfeited the game to the Tigers because they were like, we're not playing tonight after all that.
That's pretty funny.
That was a thing. It's pretty entertaining.
I'm sure there's video out there of it.
Yeah, I was actually just about to say I'm pretty sure there is like TV footage of some of this, and if I can find some good audio for you listeners, I will splice it in right here.
Between games at tonight's doubleheader, a local disc jockey blew up disco records in center field, and a crowd responded by rushing the field. Police moved in, and it took them a considerable amount of time. A bonfire had been built in the middle of center field. Police tried to clear the unruly crowd, pushed them out, finally got them off the field, although, again, it took a long time. Perhaps some arrests, it's hard to tell. Some people appear to be taken into custody. We don't know the exact nature of everything that's gone on out there so far, but new center five staffer Mike Pumo is out there at Comiskey Park, and we have him on the phone right now. Mike?
Hello. Jim?
Yes, what's the current situation?
They just canceled the second game.
They canceled the second game because the
field is unplayable, as determined by the umpires.
Also, would they have run into a problem with the fact that they had such a long delay because of this?
Yeah, there's a 1 a.m. curfew, and so they would have had to complete the game by 1 a.m., but the main reason was because the umpires determined that the field was unplayable.
They had to clean it up. I suppose it looks like there's a lot of litter out there from the picture we have.
Right. What happened was that they had an anti-disco demonstration between the games, and the fans stormed the field, and they set a bonfire in center field, and they also ripped up some turf in front of the pitcher's mound, about a foot wide and about 10, 12 feet long. And they had a meeting with Sparky Anderson and Don Kessinger and Bill Vex, and one of the supervisors of the umpires was here along with a head umpire. And after that meeting, I guess they've decided to cancel the game.
Okay. Any injuries that you know of?
Not that I know of. We have no reports of any arrests either as of right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Mike Pumo, who was out there at that White Sox game and saw what you just saw and more, I guess.
All right, so that's it. We can close this topic out now. Like I said at the beginning, there is quite a lot of detail. There's a lot more detail into this in terms of the background, like leading up to this event, from the baseball perspective, from the like the disco history perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite an interesting thing, actually. So if you listeners want, you can go do a little research on your own. If you thought that this was a crazy turn of events, tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk, or if you don't want to say anything to us, fucking don't say anything, whatever. Go to getyourfunk.com and listen to us. Just don't print our podcast onto vinyls and then burn them.
And then bootleg them. Stadium. Yeah.
You can bootleg them. That's cool.
Yeah, that's... God, that's funny. That seems like a lot of work just to burn a physical copy of our podcasts
onto vinyl and then bootleg it. Imagine if you were at a vinyl store, Kyle, and you found a bootleg copy of our podcast.
I would...
That would be incredible.
I would die happy.
Yeah. All okay, right.
So this has been your host, Kyle, who basically just went, uh-huh, the whole episode.
And this is your host, Peter, who will basically go, uh-huh, the whole time in the next episode.
Sounds good.
Because sounds like you've got something interesting for us, Kyle.
Yes. Not as interesting as exploding disco discs, but fairly interesting.
Well, we'll see.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.